Welcome to the Your Own Medicine podcast. Thank you for listening. My name is Callie Klug, and I am a yoga teacher and somatic practitioner in Southern California. Your Own Medicine podcast was really created with this idea and this intention of bringing knowledge to you to access the medicine within you and within your own body. So thank you for listening. Let's go. Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Your Own Medicine podcast. Hey, what's up? So it takes one to know one for these kinds of things, and both me and Fee are very good at the freeze response, so you're in good hands in that respect. Fee is an amazing trauma-informed business coach. I have worked with her for years personally as a business coach. I think she's been a huge part of helping me with a lot of the branding in my business, a lot of the strategy, and then also just organizing my business in a way that actually honors my body's capacity. So if you are looking for a business coach, I really recommend her. She's absolutely amazing. And in this workshop, we really get into defining what the freeze response is, how it shows up in your body somatically, because everyone's different, what visual cues you can use in your space, and then when to know, like, okay, I'm in freeze, what can I do to help myself get out of it, and then also how do I navigate freeze response in my business when I'm feeling really overwhelmed. So I think it was incredible. I think you're really going to enjoy it. One last thing before we get into the workshop is I have a few offerings coming up that I'm really excited about. Number one is I have a Costa Rica retreat in September. That is going to be in Northern Costa Rica, and there's going to be like waterfalls and yoga and somatic workshops and horseback riding and crystal clear lagoons and volcanoes and all of that. I have me and Oliver just filmed a whole YouTube video. You can crunch down on your Apple. Go ahead. He was like waiting to crunch on his Apple. Me and him recorded a whole YouTube video at Cali Somatics YouTube answering questions that you submitted about pricing and just details and stuff. It's going to be amazing. If you register before April 1st, you get access to the VIP experience, which is going to be Zoom sessions before and after the retreat, as well as 3 weeks of a WhatsApp group with a small group. So it's going to be really small, really intimate to help you prepare and integrate from the retreat. That's if you register before April 1st. April 1st, before April 1st. So just keep that in mind. If you're thinking of coming, register before then. Payment plans start at $156 per month. So it's very accessible. And then finally, we have me and Parvati are back. We're back, bitches. Parvati's my survivor idol and villain idol, or villain inspiration. She won Survivor by leading this group of all women's alliance called the Black Widow Brigade, super infamous in Survivor history. And then she also played Survivor 4 times. She was recently on the show Traitors, and she and I are co-hosting this group called How Villains Are Made. It starts April 10th, but doors close April 7th. And it's going to be... Oliver's choking on his apple. It's going to be amazing. We did this last year and it was incredible. People afterwards said that they got all these promotions at their jobs and they were making more money and they like got better jobs and they had way more energy because they weren't fawning as much and they just felt generally more confident. And so it's a really cool group. If you're interested, check it out. I'll put all the links in the bio and I hope you enjoy.
Okay. I'm going to share my screen, or do you want to screen share, Fee?
Why don't you screen share? That makes sense.
Okay. Get ready for, okay. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Sometimes it's a rough road to get to the presentation.
I swear, okay. I still can't use Zoom, so you're good.
I know, I struggle. Okay, so hello everyone. Welcome to Navigating the Freeze Response in Your Business. Me and Fee are co-hosting this. We're really excited. This is a good one. Yeah, so go ahead and drop in the chat. What do you do and what brought you here?
We'll give folks just a moment here. But ironically, I was feeling freeze last night and this morning. So this is like, we're not immune, even though we are hosting.
Oh yeah, we like actually have a lot of experience in these responses, which, you know, gotta go through it to know how to get out of it. Okay, business owner having trouble focusing and in a state of burnout and overwhelm. I'm a breakup and relationship coach. Whoa. Always seem to be on freeze, overwhelm, and burnout cycle. I see you, girl. Current engineer, but also launched my own business and came across your post on this, and I found it would be helpful to get me more active and procrastinate less. Ooh, biomagnetism therapy. Gonna have to look that up later. Always looking to expand my awareness on different techniques for helping people regulate their nervous system. I'm an online business manager here because I struggle so much with freezing in my business, perfectionism, getting overwhelmed, etc. makes it hard, especially when you're the one who's supposed to be driving the ship in your business. Yeah, you're supposed to do it all, quote, do it all. Freelance writer, travel blogger, love Kelly's work, excited to learn more about this. Do a lot of animal rights stuff. Yeah, you did, girl, for work, and feel burnout sometime. I'm an architect just here to see different perspectives. Liminal witch, love. CPTSD, neurodivergent brain. I'm here to gather information as I'm anchoring my business in the world. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing, you guys. We have so many different like perspectives and fields, which is really cool. Love. Any thoughts, Fee, before we move to the next slide?
No, I mean, same. I really like, there's people who are freelancers who are in their business, like, you know, full-time driving the ship. And yeah, I mean, I can relate to that as well, to say like, I experienced this and then you're supposed to be giving people like business advice. But that's like, that's humanity in business. So nothing wrong with that, but I can relate.
All right. Bean, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself? Oh, I love that picture.
Thank you. I've had that Chicago song that's viral on TikTok right now, like in my head rent free. So I was like, I'm going to put a picture of Chicago. I'm in Florida, so wishful thinking. But I am a trauma-informed business coach who believes you can have a thriving business without bypassing your humanity. And I really value honoring all aspects of my clients and my audience, like history, intersectionality, neurodivergence, mental health, as you do the work of like being a human and also being a business owner. So where those two things come together is where I like to really have discussions. I come from like the world of marketing and also like the wellness world. And now I've been doing my business full time for like, it'll be 4 years this year.
Fee's amazing, by the way, too. I will say too, I know Fee personally, and I've worked with you in many like different ways, but she's a very badass business coach and really understands the nervous system, which I feel like is a very rare and necessary combo. So yeah. My name's Callie. I'm a somatic practitioner and I help people heal from people pleasing. My background is kind of this mix of I studied traditional yoga in India and in Himalayas of India, and then I started learning more about the tantric side of yoga, which is like lower chakras, more embodiment, less like asana and breath work, and more like how do I ground down into my physical body, connect back to my sensations. And then from there I went into somatic psychology, which is more like really just studying how the body metabolizes trauma. And just like the reality that we live in these bodies that have mammalian nervous systems. So how can we like make peace with that instead of working against it? And that's my background. I also have a background in business. I got a degree in international business. So this topic is very exciting for me, and I think very applicable to a lot of people, like merging the two, the human and the business. Okay. So in this workshop today, we're gonna go over, this might be a review for some of you, but we're gonna go over the four trauma responses, and you're gonna learn how to identify freeze in your body in real time. So actually, like, what are the physical sensations? What does freeze feel like in my body? So then you can have a like benchmark to, okay, how can I catch it in real time? Because a key element of freeze is dissociation. And so how can I understand what's happening while it's happening when I'm dissociated? Then we'll go over some ways to get, or how freeze shows up in your business, what that looks like on a day-to-day, and then also how to get out of freeze, which is like probably why you're here. Also, just to give some context, we don't really get into the like people-pleasing aspect of like fawn response in this workshop, but I want to say fawn and freeze are very blended. So if you are experiencing some sort of fawn, you are likely experiencing some level of freeze and dissociation and vice versa. So just keep that in mind as we move into this. They're very blended and very intertwined.
Yeah, it's
Okay.
interesting that you say that because I will experience freeze directly after fawn or like while I am fawning. Like the words that are coming out of my mouth are fawn. My body is like ice. So, cosine.
Yeah, fawning's very uncomfortable because we're prioritizing other people's needs instead of ours. So obviously it's uncomfortable. Our body, goes into that savior response of freeze of how can I take you out of this, numb it. And so they're very connected. Whenever we talk about something or think about something or focus our awareness on something, it can be activating. So just know that we're talking about freeze today. Even as I'm saying it now, I'm feeling it in my body. You might notice that you feel it in yours. If it feels at any point like too much, please self-regulate. You can turn it off. You might like turn the screen away from you. Maybe the audio is enough. And, externally resource if you have something that you can ground down with. As we're learning about this freeze response, the last thing we want you to do is like fully go into freeze response. So just be aware of what's happening and take care of your body as needed throughout the entirety of the presentation. A recording will be available, so just know that. Okay. So we're gonna do a very brief exploration of these responses, and then we're going to notice somatically. How does freeze feel in my body? So we have the four trauma responses, like I mentioned, might be a review. We have fight, that is when the body determines that the safest thing to do is be propelled towards the threat to hurt it before it hurts us. It's a lot of upward movement, upward energy. We have flight, which is when the body determines that the safest course of action is to run away from the threat. So your body's propelled away. A lot of downward motion. But big explosion, just like fight, like explosive energy. And then we have a freeze response, which is where the body determines that the safest course of action is to become invisible. So it's not just doing nothing, it's actually like your breathing gets quieter, everything kind of collapses into itself. There's a lot of numbing. So there's a lot of like chemicals in the brain that cause numbing throughout the body, and there's a certain level of dissociation. So you might have like an out-of-body experience. You might notice I'm going like this with my arm because I go out this way and freeze, and we'll discover where you go in a moment. But it's, I like to think of it as like the savior response because it's maybe you can't leave, and the body's, it's normally when the body's in an extreme state of overwhelm where it feels like action won't actually get you out of it. And then finally, fawn is when your body gets propelled towards the threat. But instead of fight in this sense, it's appeasing the threat. So, like I said, it's this weird, like, it's this weird thing where your body is actually feeling threatened, but it's interacting with the very thing it finds threatening to appease it. So, freeze and fawn, very blended. These are almost, I don't even think they can be fully separate. Where there's one, there's always the other. Actually, I don't know about freeze and fawn. I think freeze can exist without fawn, but also I think they're just very blended responses. Okay, so right now we're going to experience how freeze feels in your body. You might already feel it because we're talking about it. I know I am. I'm like going back. Whoa. So please know as we do this, like find something right now that you feel is grounding. I'm looking at this like bouquet of flowers to my right. It's your dog or some, or even putting your hands on your legs. Just make note right now of that thing that's going to tether you back down. And we're doing like 1%. Like if we have like a giant meal in front of us, I'm just like, not even taking a bite, just a 1%. So go ahead and you can close your eyes or maybe keep them open. I like to keep mine open for this response. And think about the last time that you were in a freeze response. And notice what happens in your body. Notice where you go. Your awareness, is it in or around your body? What's happening to your breathing? What's going on in your chest and your belly, your pelvis? Do you feel your arms and legs? And then go ahead and come back. We're probably really good at this. Yay, we're good at freeze. But let's shake it off now. Inhale, arms up overhead. Exhale. Raspberry out one more time. Inhale. Raspberry. And then go ahead and find that grounding thing, whatever it is. Take a few breaths while looking at it. Maybe rub your thighs, rub your feet, your legs. If you're rubbing your legs, you can say, like, thighs, these are my thighs. Legs, these are my legs. And then go ahead and take a moment and note down whatever came up for you. So, how does freeze feel somatically in your body? How does your body experience this response? And we're very curious what came up for you. So if you'd like to share in the chat a few words or sensations, like where did you go? Did you notice your awareness was somewhere behind you, forward to the side? What happened to your body, your breath? For myself, like I said, I go back. And it
I
feels like a lot
can
of constriction. Yeah, Fee, go ahead.
share. The first thing that always happens to me is like my eyes, like my focus starts to like move, like just what's the word? Like screen over. It's always like in my eyes, which the eyes are a part of your nervous system. They're like directly linked to the brain, the neck. So that's really interesting. And yeah, I feel like my eyes gloss over and my focus starts to shift to like nowhere, like no foreground, background. And then I go kind of out here and physically, like I'm not in the room anymore. I'm in my little like head tomb. I could be anywhere, but I'm like in my brain.
Head tomb. That's a good way to put it.
TM.
TM. Okay, turning my attention to the chat. Okay, so it says for me, it feels like my throat is closing up. Anxiety, I notice goosebumps. My breath is held in my stomach. Retweet, I feel that toothy. Breath shallows and my mind floods. Hard to think clearly. Yeah. So a lot of constriction, a lot of dissociation, barely breathing. Body feels frozen from chin to pelvis. Leave body from the back of my head and floating above like an attached balloon. Hold my breath. Eyes glaze over, inability to feel or express. Beautiful. Thank you guys for sharing that. I feel that. Oh my goodness, Daisy's snoring away. I feel that. And if you feel that as well, just notice if that resonates and also take a moment to ground if you need. And even just deepening your breath here too, because I see that's a common theme is the holding of breath. So even taking a moment right now to take a few deeper inhales and exhales and find some movement in your fingers and toes, just like letting your body know that movement is available and it's safe. All right. I'm going to pass the mic to Fee, and we're going to get into how freeze manifests and then what you can do when you want to move out of it.
Okay, thank you. And can I just say, like, next slide if I want you to click over? Okay, sweet. Yeah, thank you guys. I could feel like I'm sweating. I could feel everything that I was reading in the chat as as I was reading it. So oftentimes I was thinking about the experiences of people before they get into freeze, like a comic book almost is how my brain works. And oftentimes it is when I see entrepreneurs, business owners, folks that I work with, it's either that they are high achievers or that they love the idea of like achieving, doing a lot, and it sounds really good to them, whether or not they like necessarily are, I don't want to say like ready, but if they have the bandwidth or not. So that leads to like overstimulation, overwhelm, decision fatigue. And decision fatigue, I think, is one of the things that resonates the most with the folks that I work with as well. And drop into the chat if this is like resonating with you. I would love to see like your take on it or if this is hitting for you. And as far as like internal monologues, it can sound something like, this feels so high stakes. Before I was a business owner, I worked in a really high stress environment that like I was managing a marketing firm, and it felt very high stakes, like every decision, and it was literally just like a paragraph of copy sometimes, but because of the leadership, it felt very high stakes and then led me into a lot of like this frozen because I didn't feel like I could be vulnerable or make mistakes. Or putting like a lot of pressure on ourselves, like, oh, I'm supposed to be enjoying this. I'm supposed to be handling this. It's going well for me. And then the guilt sets in. Or something like, if I push myself to go through the motions for one more day, I'm gonna freaking lose it. So that can be some of the internal monologues that could be going through your head, leading up to like the moment where you're like, oh, well, you may not even know it at the time, but into a state of freeze. And I see people in the chat saying, you know, that I didn't know this was related to freezing and that people are agreeing. So, yeah, I know this from personal experience. Okay, next slide, please. All right, so first, like, we want to, again, because freeze is dissociation, it can be really tricky to identify because the point is to dissociate. So, but when we can try to identify this like danger zone where freeze is like creeping in the periphery. So identifying and then interrupting is could be like a really good coping mechanism for you to not land in freeze. So I want to, you know, you can look around often to like your living space, your workspace, your headspace for like visual cues. So it could be like, again, me last night. If the TV is still on and it's like midnight, how'd you get to my camera roll? LOL, Gina. Yeah, this is mine actually. It could be like your trash is overflowing. You have a lot of takeout containers. Like these are visual cues. You can land your eyes on these things around the room. It could be that there's a plate of food that you haven't touched, but that you prepared for yourself. Like anything like this where your Uber Eats for days says Callie. Yeah. So this could be like a small action that you can take to start to identify. So then you can interrupt before you really get into a free state. Okay, next slide. So, and then I really just want to hone in on this. Oftentimes, again, if we feel like things are high stakes, it doesn't leave us a lot of room to experiment, to make mistakes, to be vulnerable, to like do the wrong thing. And sometimes it's just ourselves saying that. So you don't have to have all the answers. For my perfectionists and people pleasers in the room, hey, so give yourself permission to fail. And when you read this, I want you to like just notice what happens in your body when you read that or say that to yourself. You can even, if you're on mute, like you can even say it out loud. I give myself permission to fail, and notice how this lands for you. It can be that this makes you tense up. It could be that this is a relief because you're finally giving yourself permission, or anything in between. You know your body better than I do, of course. So I would love your thoughts on how really this is landing for you, and if there's any visual cues that you maybe notice in your space that you can say, okay, that's a yellow light in my living space. And I can identify that and then start to see how, and we'll get into how in a second, how I can interrupt this like pre-freeze. Okay, next slide. And Sky said in the chat, years worth of piles that need to be sorted and cleared. Girl, I have like a project in every room in a bag. So punch needling next room, sewing in this room. Okay, so. Permission to fail equals whole abdomen clenches. Interesting. Okay. So that is, that's your body like giving you information. And this is not like a right or a wrong. Like, I'm not trying to tell you that there's one way or another, but it is information like from the body. So this is what I love to do, a human-centered approach to business. When we start to interrupt the freeze, a micro action is, I think, a good place to start. So sometimes if I'm working or if I'm like really in the zone at my computer and like needing to pee, annoying. Are you kidding me? So rude. That means I need to physically stop what I'm doing, get up out of my chair, walk across the hall. That's so much to ask for. And I'm like, okay, body, so rude. Are you kidding me that I need to pee right now? I'm writing an email chain. So I want you, again, Callie said 1%, and I think that's a really good place to start. So what I, for myself, I think, can I move my eyes? So can I look out the window and at least just like move my eyes? That way I don't have to move my physical body, but I can move a muscle and get out of this like tunnel vision that I have. Petting your dog, like my dog likes to sit under my desk. So like reaching my foot over and like petting my dog with the bottom of my foot and noticing what the sensations feel like in my body for that. And like also the pattern and rhythm of like, you know, stroking a dog. It could be like a blanket, anything that you have that's texture can be a good interrupter. I love having lots of rugs in my living space because it tends to do that for me. If I'm like in the zone, in my head tomb, and I all of a sudden like walk on a really soft rug, that's a thought interrupter for me. And asking yourself, like, are you hungry? How's your temperature of your body? Callie, I know you mentioned too that like oftentimes in this like pre-freeze or freeze status that we get into, then like our body temperature is sometimes not comfortable. So we can be like really cold, warm, and that's something that you can ask yourself. Am I like physically comfortable in this room with my temperature? So I'm seeing the chat too. A project in every room, unclenching, and then yeah, having to pee is really rude. ADHD people might understand, but okay, next slide. Okay, I just wanted to take a breath there. So those are some micro actions in the last slide for how to physically take some small actions, like physically in the body, to get out of this of this process from like this pre-freeze like danger zone into perhaps going into a free state. Now we're going to move into some micro actions in your business. This is how we apply it to getting like putting one foot in front of the other in business. So some practical steps that you can take. These are things that I've done like with myself or with my clients. One action every day, small actions, one for self-care, one for sales, one for marketing. If you like do those three things Monday through Friday or whatever your work schedule is, it can be three small actions, like a self-care ritual. And when I say ritual, I mean like make a cup of tea. It doesn't need to be like a whole five-step whatever that you see on TikTok. One thing for sales, one thing for marketing. And that can give you a place to land or like a framework for when you're like, what am I even doing right now? Like, what am I selling right now? The next idea is one non-negotiable task per weekday. And I'll show you guys some visuals in a second. It can be, I think a lot of the tools that we see in the business space really talk to, first of all, the business space is like the loudest and most privileged voices are often like what we see the most. If you go through like the business section in a local bookstore, it's a lot of like white male authors. So that's not as like a person of color and like a neurodivergent person. That's not really like I just am built different than that. So I see a lot of really good ideas for time blocking and tasking and blocking and all of this stuff, and that's not how my brain works. So having one non-negotiable task per weekday without making it overly complicated is oftentimes like a small micro action that's actually feasible. Like Monday will be your email day, Tuesday will be your social day, Wednesday will be, you know, if you do one thing that day, have it be this one thing. That way, you're not having to time block like from 12 to 2, I'll do this, and from 2 to 4, I'll do this. I can't even perceive time, so that doesn't work for me. But having one thing as the bare minimum does. Three is prioritization. I made this for one of my clients, having a matrix of energy versus time. Again, like what action can I, like what can I do today? What can I do this week? Managing your energy versus the time that you have. Again, I'll give you guys links for this and I'll show it. And then some decision tools. I am obsessed with this ADHD timer that I have that sets a timer for like 5, 10, 3, and 1 minute. There's variations that you can get on Amazon. And I'm obsessed also with an app called Opal. It blocks my social media at different levels. And if you want to like completely shut down your social media to the point where you can't even erase, like you would have to erase the Opal app to get to your social. And even that you can turn off. So if you want to block your social media because you're in a state of freeze and it's really easy to scroll when you're in freeze, or getting on social media causes you to settle into a state of freeze, those are tools that can make the decision for you, and the decision is no, or the decision is in 5 minutes you're going to do this thing if you use a timer. Oh, next slide, please. I try to do that on my end. Okay, so this is my version of a time blocking where you have one non-negotiable task per week, per weekday. This was an old one that I did. Mine has been updated since, but Mondays is an email day. If I do one thing on Monday, it's going to be getting my inbox to zero. Tuesday is a CEO day. I don't have any, like, no client work. It is all working inside of my business. Wednesday, client day, having most of my meetings. That's like a big client day for me, reading over copy, et cetera. Thursday, again, email day, getting the inbox to zero. I know some of y'all have like 22,000 like in your inbox. So maybe that's not for you, but you can adjust this as needed. And then Friday is Finance Friday, do all my finances. I still do that. So that's just like the one non-negotiable task that you can assign per like Monday through Friday. Okay, next slide, please. All right, this is the energy versus time matrix. Basically on the y-axis, it's impact, like how is it going to impact your business? And on the x-axis, it is effort. So this is something that like my client and I filled out together. It is so easy to be like, I'm just going to search for inspiration on social media when that's not really moving the needle for you in your business. But it is low effort. So before you do or like set up your week or your day for what are my actions or what are the actions that feel like I need to do them, I would map it out here. So that you know what actually is moving the needle the most. And ideally, things that are high impact, low effort would be the things that you can concentrate on, and the things that are high effort, low impact, that's not going to do a lot, are the things that you can put at the bottom of your priority list. This just helps you prioritize your tasks. Okay, next. These are decision tools, just some visuals for y'all. The timer's on the left and the Opal app is on the right. It's OPAL, Opal. It's phenomenal. All right, so now that you have some visuals and some options, let me know in the chat, which one will you take action on? What makes sense for you? I would love to know kind of how this landed and which ones sound like they will intersect where you're at in your business and your life, because that's my whole shtick, is having a business that moves with and for your brain and not against it. And I'll drop all of the links in the chat right now. One non-negotiable per day. Yeah, that's a good one. I just downloaded Opal. Thank you. I think the non-negotiable feels like it's giving me a boundary, which I like. Yeah, and social media really is like set up to break your boundaries. It's engineered like that. So we're having to fight against like a room full of engineers that are doing this professionally. And I'm like, I am not that strong. I'm not that strong. So it is, yeah, that's helping you make the decision to, I'm not going to get on social media right now, and then perhaps make a different decision somewhere else. Like, and I will send out this email newsletter. So love that. I'm trying to figure out the non-negotiable task per day thing. Part of the issue is a certain boundaries with clients and being able to say something like, I don't do client work on Mondays, which doesn't feel doable right now, but I would love to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can work towards that for sure. That's like some people, I mean, I've worked with a coach that doesn't work on Fridays, and letting people know during the onboarding process, their expectations and your workflow and your boundaries right off the bat, or even before they sign up with you, is the best way that you can do that. I think people loved a heads up. I already do one action every day, and it's nice to see it presented this way. It's validation. One non-negotiable task each day feels good to start playing with. Cool. I'm really glad. Definitely time for decision tools. Yeah. I also have this, this never worked for me. It's a phone like jail. It's a phone jail. You stick your phone in, you set the timer, and it locks your phone in jail. I know, I think I used this once, and you have to charge it, and then I never charged it, and then it didn't work anyway. So I would claw my phone out of that thing. So I've tried a few, and some hit, some don't. Opal, I just, if I get the itch, if I'm doing something and I'm like, ooh, you know what I could be doing right now instead is fucking off on TikTok, I will pick up my phone, block it like completely, and I'll be like, okay, cool. And I feel such a relief in my whole body because I'm like, oh, now I don't have to feel that temptation anymore because it's not happening. It is wonderful that I don't have to fight that. Like, my nervous system relaxes every time I block my social media. I just got goosebumps telling y'all that. So, okay, next slide, please. All right, so more ways you can get support from me. I do 3 month and 6 month coaching. One of my clients, their contract is ending now, so I have a spot open right now. I haven't announced it on social media, but that's there. 90-minute intensives are also open as well. And those are like my two big buckets right now for how you can work with me. And I will be, you know, I drop stuff throughout the year as well, if I like this, like free workshops, and you can follow me on social as well. Callie, do you want to take over?
Yeah, so I super recommend working with V. Like I said, I've done it before and I'm doing it right now. We're just like finishing up some more coaching. Yeah, she's brilliant, so I really recommend working with her. Ways that you can work with me, I'm about to co-host a really cool program called How Villains Are Made. I've ran it before. I ran it last year. It's with Survivor player and winner, and recent traitor, if you were watching the show Traitors, Parvati Shallow. That starts April 9th. It's 6 weeks of group support. This one is really focused on how can you release the need for people pleasing, both mentally and somatically, to enable you to say what you want. Or say what you mean and get what you want. And really, like, how can you cultivate a richer, more delicious life in your career, your personal life, every facet, because you embrace this, like, this villain aspect of yourself. It's really fun. And then I'm also really recently, actually, I just posted this yesterday to my Linktree. But I'm starting to take one-on-one clients. So I have an option for 3 and 6 month support containers where it's Zoom sessions and Voxer support, really helping you get you probably already know all the theory. It's really just holding your hand while you put it into practice. So those are my two main offers right now. And yeah, now we have some time for Q&A. We have about 15 minutes. So if you'd like to either put your questions in the chat, you can come off of mute and let us know what your questions are.
And I've taken Callie's one of her group coaching, and it was wonderful. I think I did Venom, and the meditations blew my mind. So,
It's really good. Yeah.
yeah, inner teenager work is my favorite.
It's so good, the rage. Oh, Sabrina said, longtime Survivor fan, you will slash would absolutely love villains because we get really into like the Survivor lore of like how Parv like navigated these dynamics in Survivor where she was so hated, like not just covertly but overtly on the show, after the show, on the many variations of the show that she was on, so you'd really like it. Can you speak a bit more to the signs of getting into the danger zone? I think, V, do you mind if I start this one off and then maybe you can.
Yeah, go ahead.
When we were creating this workshop, our whole idea for like the signs would be, so the whole idea of freeze is very dissociative. So that means that while you're experiencing it, you're not like likely self-aware. You're probably not like, oh, I'm not feeling my arms and legs right now. Like the whole purpose of this response is to take you away and make you numb. And so how do you create awareness around a response that is literally designed to do the exact opposite of that? So our idea with that whole concept is like, how can you use visual cues to be like, oh my gosh. So for me, I'll use myself as an example because this is how we got here. Actually, it was me and Fee were creating copy for this.
Telling ourselves all the time.
Yeah, literally, exactly. We were creating copy for this, and she had said something about, oh, when everything feels really important and really high stakes. And I have a friend visiting me this coming week. So I was like, let me work through the weekend. No problem, right? Yes, problem. I fully went into a freeze. It was too much work. I was overwhelmed. I'm sitting on my couch. I'm like planning this trip in the future. Everything's feeling urgent and important. And I'm like, my heart is pounding and this person's not getting back to me. And I'm like, threat level midnight, like we're gonna die. And then I was like, oh, everything feels really urgent right now. And it's not that important. And so that for me was enough for me to, it was like an interrupter for me to go, oh shit, I'm going into freeze. And so then I was able to close my laptop, take a breath, be like, okay, girl, maybe you need to go to bed. It's like, you know, 10 p.m. and I'm like trying to save the world on my computer. Another sign for me is like the Uber Eats. If I'm like really getting crazy with the Uber Eats because I don't want to leave my house, probably not a good sign. For me, if I'm like really feeling averse to taking a shower or like going to the bathroom or eating a meal, I'm like, no, I have other stuff to do. So discover your own, like, what does your life look like when you're like moving into that state, or if you're already there? So then when you're in it, you can be, maybe even make a list. So then when you're in it, you can be like, oh, okay. Like I have 5 cupcake containers on the counter. Maybe I should go on a walk. That's kind of the idea with that. See, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's my dog. I could hear his little paws coming upstairs. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think for me, like if I'm looking around and the room is blue from the TV because I've been sitting on my couch, and I think also when it is tricky because exactly this like response is made so that you don't feel. So how do you feel when you're not supposed to feel? I think for me too, if I can get to the place where I stand up off the couch or I get up from my desk chair and my body feels really like, you know, when you're like creak and you get up, that is an indicator for me that I should probably move around a little bit more. because this will happen when I'm scrolling social media too. Like if you're, you know, your head is on your hand and you're sideways and then you put your phone down for a sec and you're like, oh my God, my neck, oh, and that is an indicator for me. So that's like the danger zone is, if you keep doing this thing, you are gonna feel worse later physically because I'm tensing my muscles so much and I'm not realizing it. I think I'm resting because I'm just like, oh, I'm like on Instagram. No, I'm not. I'm like a tunnel vision in a free state, because I'm avoiding doing something else. So also like a thought that you have, if you're procrastinating or you're avoiding something, or there's a project that you're putting off because you have to make a lot of like decisions and you have to like use a high level of executive function, it's so much easier to numb out because then you're not doing that thing you don't wanna do. that requires a lot of energy. So that's something too, like, okay, I need to start this project. And when you're an entrepreneur, no one's going to do it for you. Like, you, if you don't do it in your business, like, I mean, you have a VA, you have support maybe, but you are the one moving the business forward. And so if you have something coming up, I'm telling on myself again, if you want to make a sales funnel, me, and you've been putting off for 2 weeks, me, that's something that you can look out for and be like, okay, well, I'm doing this thing. I don't really want to do it, but I know I have to. So this is where I'm going to be more aware of me tending to go into freeze, because I know I'm going to be dragging my feet on this project. So that too could be a good indicator. Like, look at your calendar and see what you have coming up. Carissa said, I really relate this week. A mouse got into a cabinet full of dishes, so having a bazillion dishes floating all over my space made me very unproductive for the past 4 days, and still trying to do a massive dishes session.
I need to know more about this mouse.
Chaos. Yeah, I mean, when my space is a mess too, I can't think. I have to be very tidy. That's just me.
There was also a question up here. I'm actually going to stop sharing my screen and pull up another graph. Someone asked about, like, going from a free state to like working, like, manically and trying to get a bunch of things done. And so I just want to share a chart here that will probably kind of give you some context. I'm still on you. What's going on?
Yeah, we can see the Opal website pulled up.
I know, I'm trying to. There we go. Okay. So this is polyvagal theory. So we have social engagement. So we're connected, open, settled. We're able to connect with, thank you, Daisy, with ourself, others, and our environment. And then we have fight or flight, which is, like I said, that, like, explosive energy. And then we have freeze. And that's when our body is, like, so overwhelmed that it just goes into that collapse state that we've been talking about. So when we spend, like, any time in here, to get back to this, like, social engagement state, we have to go through a sympathetic state. So that can look like, when it's more acute, it can look like, if you see it in animals, it's like an animal going into freeze, and then it'll come out and it'll shake. There's different kinds of shaking. It might be like a duck flapping their wings. It might be the actual, like, it's almost like a tremor that happens to some animals when they come out of it. For humans, it might look like I'm scrolling on my phone and then I, like, look up and my whole house is messy and I'm like, ah, I gotta clean. Chronically, it can look like, I talk about this a lot in the context of people pleasing. If you're in a freeze fawn state and then you come out after years, you can actually experience, like, years of this sympathetic energy as you come out of it. So that can be why you feel like you're, like, going back and forth, is because you're kind of moving, like, from freeze and then you're going into fight or flight. And then maybe instead of coming back down into this, like, more grounded, connected state, your body gets overstimulated or overwhelmed again and it goes back into freeze. So that's why we have that, like, burnout cycle. And I know Fee has experienced that firsthand. So maybe you can talk on that too, Fee.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I experienced extreme burnout where I, like, couldn't, I would wake up and I couldn't feel my body from the neck down, and I would have to, like, shake to, like, start to feel my body. My nervous system was really, really sick. I got diagnosed with fibromyalgia. I quit my job and here I am. But that's a very, very shortened version of it. But yeah, I mean, I was experiencing a lot of fawn and a lot of freeze. And I don't think I really had the capacity to go into fight or flight because I was stuck in freeze and fawn for so long. But I think about the people who are at the gym after work and how much that could be like a I need to work out or punch something or like lift heavy things coming out of maybe fawning or freezing all day at the office, and then taking that and being like, I can't wait to lift heavy things or like just move around with that like frenetic energy of coming out of that red zone of like freeze and fawn and coming into fight or flight. So it feels like at that time at the gym, that's in the air. Like I can perceive it there, and I'm like, people are fighting their demons right now. Like rush hour at the gym is when I can. That's like a, I think a very active. Like that's in the air for me. I can like feel it, because I've also been that person too. Also, like road rage for rush hour could be that too. Definitely, like it can be a little bit of a pressure cooker in those like environments. So in the chat, I feel that a big danger sign for me is when I can't sleep. I'll numb out all day, and then as soon as I try to sleep, the reality hits me all at once, and I get too anxious to sleep. I couldn't sleep last night. So relatable, relatable. Yeah, for sure. Do you want to add anything, Callie?
Yeah, I mean the sleep thing, I think that's a really good like a thing to note. I'm the same way where if I start getting stressed, I'll like start working up to the end of my day and then I'll try to go to bed and like so weird. I can't sleep when what I was doing before that was like working frantically for 8 hours. So yeah, I think it's like it's definitely like a holistic approach because it is all pervasive. Like the sleep gets affected. I know for me when I start to go into freeze, I like start to eat more poorly. I start to like crave more like flavorful foods because I'm like not even hardly tasting my food. And I will like not work out for days. And it's kind of like it's honestly like very holistic, like what we're talking about. It's I wish that it was like, oh, do this practice and you will avoid freeze. But because it's something that's a lot of our bodies are very familiar with and very good at, when we start to feel that stress, it's usually one of the most, it's also a very socially acceptable response, like maybe over like fighter or flight. And so, yeah, it's just looking at it holistically, I think. That point. Yeah, spicy or double fried.
Ooh.
Ooh, for me, sugar.
I love some like pepperoncini potato chips,
The
fried
crunch.
pickles. Yeah, and also like be aware that like your body's always like going like this. Like the regulation is not a straight line. It is always like going from, more active to coming down. Like you're always regulating on a very awesome, nothing is like, stagnant ideally. It is going to oscillate. That's a sign of a healthy nervous system. Thank you, Sky. And that's something I want to drive home too, is like it's not that you have to be in this like good zone all the time. And I think that there's it can be tricky to name one thing as like a good zone and one is bad. It's like these are all really intelligent ways that our bodies and our nervous system deal with the stresses of being a human in the 21st century. So, like, good for you that you have this, even if it's not like the right thing to do or like the best thing. It's like, wow, thank you, body, for like allowing me to numb out when I could have instead experienced a lot of like grief or disappointment or whatever. It is your body like doing its damn best to try to keep you safe. So that's something I want to drive home to. And I think Gina said something about like releasing the shame. So it really is that. Like your body is always like oscillating in these different ways, and everything is like intelligent.
Yeah, just to double down on that, a few years ago I was experiencing so much grief that I could consciously feel myself dissociating and going into freeze. And I think sometimes, especially when you're experiencing acute circumstances, that response truly is a savior response, because to get through your day, to go to work, you can't be like fully experiencing everything that, is all of your emotions all at once, or else you'd be on the floor horizontal. And so just know that like this response is absolutely amazing, and so is fun. All of them are amazing. They all serve a purpose. But kind of like Fee said, we just want to create that nervous system mobility. It's not about like constantly being like, I'm regulated, I'm in the green zone. Not really possible. I kind of call BS on that if someone says that. It's more about just increasing the mobility so that you can move through them more. So yeah, thank you guys for joining us. If you have any questions, let me know. You can send us an email and or a DM on socials, and that's all. Any last thoughts?
No, thank you guys so much for coming. Yeah, our DMs are always open, so you know where to find us.
Yeah. All right. Take care, you guys.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. I had a lot of fun co-hosting this with Fee. She's super fun, and thank you to everyone who showed up live. You guys were all really wonderful. Once again, if you are interested in the Costa Rica retreat, it's going to be absolutely incredible. I hosted one there last August, and it's so magical there, just being in the nature. And then on top of that, you add these yoga and somatic practices. And then on top of that, you have this community of just amazing people that are super open-hearted and grounded. It's a really incredible experience. So there's that. And How Villains Are Made starts in a few weeks as well. Once again, I'll put everything down below, and have a great rest of your day and your week. That's all for today for the Your Own Medicine podcast. Thank you so much for listening. These episodes do come out pretty sporadically, so if you'd like to be notified each time a new episode comes out, please subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And you can always follow my journey along, which I always post when a new episode comes out on my social media, TikTok and Instagram, at Kelly Klug Yoga. And feel free to keep in touch. You can also check out my website at kellyklugyoga.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.